Rabbi, our limud of Sefer Chofetz Chaim is Lizchus Refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla every day, and today especially because today is the, I think, 31st Yahrzeit of the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva Zecher Levracha, and the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva was the one who publicized and made great efforts to be makpid himself on Hilchas Lashon Hara and to spread it, and the limud that we do is arranged for daily study by the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva. So we're using his luach. So Zchus Yogin Aleinu Al Kol Yisrael. So says the Chofetz Chaim, we're up to the negative commandment number 13. 13 out of 17, lavin, that you can be involved in with Lashon Hara. And the one he's discussing today is the issa of Loisoinu Ish Esamisoi. You shall not cause pain to somebody else, cause verbal pain to someone else. The issa of oinoas devorim, says the Chofetz Chaim, that there is a type of speech which is forbidden simply because, and when we were in school, when I was in primary school, we used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Says the Chofetz Chaim, Chazal say names hurt. Chazal say names will hurt you. Chazal say that if you mention in front of somebody, or you remind them of their dubious past, things that they've done in the past, things that they got up to, it's a well-known thing that the best man gets up at a chasna and he tells everybody all the terrible things that this chasna got up to up till today, you know, when he was single. But from now onwards, he's going to go straight because his wife's going to look after him. But until now, I've got some very interesting schoyer to tell you, and everybody has a very good laugh at the expense of the chosen.
Right.
Now, the chosen might laugh with, but is he really enjoying it?
Yeah.
Or does he mind? There might be things that he doesn't want everybody to know. He's ashamed, yeah. And there might be things in particular that he didn't want the colour to know. Yeah. And now not only does the colour know, but there's 1,000 people at the chasna, they all know.
Yeah.
So as the Chofetz Chaim, people base their own image on the way that people speak about them. Right? There's a well-known klal in teaching that you never ever call a child a name.
Right?
You can say to him, Johnny, you did this thing wrong. Johnny, you shouldn't have done this. You should do it another way. But to say, Johnny, you're an idiot, or Johnny, you're stupid, or anything like that, besides the fact that the teacher has fashamed the child in front of the class, Johnny walks around eventually getting the message that he's stupid. He gets eventually
berabim
even privately. If the teacher's telling him, you are stupid,
yeah,
or you are an idiot, then eventually the name sticks, and eventually that's how a person tends to regard himself.
Right.
Says the Chofetz Chaim, Loisoinu Ish Esamisoi means that we have to avoid hurting people by mentioning things that they've done or by labelling them with particular labels, because eventually words do stick and they do have an impression, and very often, even though it's pasdim nish to make a fuss about it and it's inappropriate for him, he doesn't want to say anything and he wants to pretend sometimes that he finds it amusing and that he's one of the crowd and that he's one of the chevra, ultimately Loisoinu Ish Esamisoi is lav number 13 in Hilchos Lashon Hara. Yeah, he's just going to make a brief announcement, and then you're on.
Okay.
But you can already prepare yourself.
My in-laws
is that?
Oh, Cooper. Dubbins in the Adas.
I think I know.
There's lots of people there who were
very nice.
I don't know the names, you know.
I thought
the company
was.
It's a big island.
Start today, Thurway, Northwest London, Thursday, 22nd of Shvat, 1st of February, by Julian Schindler Schlieter, Risk Aversion. This week's Thurway is sponsored by Family Adler, the first simple Shabbat Mitzvah, Shoyim Adler, last Shabbos. Yit Rotzen Shishku Herob, Eskimak Lerob, Nachas Mimenu, Mikol Yosei Chalotzehem, Hizkus HaShivuyim VaChayolim VaMilchamo, Sheachzeru Levotzehem, Lesholem Bimheiro.
Amen.
So, good morning, Rabbi Isai. Those who are here, those who are not here, I'm pleased to have the opportunity to share some ideas with you. I'd like to mention that it was mentioned just before this, the outside of the Manchester Rosh Hashiva. I didn't know this, but I did have a sort of oblique connection with him in my student years, particularly my postgraduate years. I became very close to Rav Moshe Kupitz, Zichron Livrocha, and his Rebbetzin, who is the daughter of the Rosh Yeshiva. And I remember one Friday night I was had zechus to be a oireach in their house, and the Rosh Yeshiva came. He'd been in the yeshiva, and on his way home, he came in to say Shabbos to the family. He'd lost his Rebbetzin many, many years beforehand. And so he came in, and they're sitting there with about 8 children around the table with myself. And he just is just Gachabas, Gachabas, Gachabas. And this went on for about 5 minutes. And the children are going, Zaidi, Zaidi, and this and that. Anyway, after he left, Mrs. Kupitz, Robertson Kupitz, said to me, she says, please don't think my father impolite, he didn't speak to you, but he doesn't speak on Shabbos. Shabbos is Kula Kodesh, it's only for Divrei Torah, and this, that, and the other. Not even to say, hello, how are you, nice to meet you, nothing. That was, so he held to a very, very high standard of Shemiras Halosh, and even Liflim Mishuras Hadin at many levels, and I think that was my only encounter with him, but he was a very, very special person. Now, the topic I took for this morning, I've called risk aversion. Risk aversion has a specific meaning for those who work in finance or investments, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about more risks to personal injury and that sort of thing. And there are many aspects of living today where this actually is taken into consideration. So, for example, if a person unfortunately has to have an operation in hospital, the consultant, the surgeon, whoever it is doing the operation will come round to the patient. It will explain to the patient what procedure he's going to do, and it will tell him or her what the risks are. I know from personal experience, they'll say to you, we think this operation has an 80% chance of success, or whatever it might be, and you have to sign, the patient has to sign a document to say that they've agreed to this procedure, having been warned about this. This is what they call informed consent. And, of course, this is one of the major objections that people who are opposed to Bris Mila have, because you can't get informed consent from an 8-year-old baby. He can't tell you whether or not he agrees to the procedure being done. So that's one arena. My wife retired a year or so ago as a senior teacher at Monaro High School for Girls. She taught mainly mathematics, but she was also head of the science department. And if you're going to do a teacher lesson which involves experiments, the teacher has to make a risk assessment of what's going on. You know, this is the experiment. These are the potential hazards of doing the experiment. And what measures will you put in place in case, God forbid, there's some sort of an accident? And this goes right through many, many walks of life. Now, I don't have to labour the point. There is what sparked my re-interest in the subject was actually a story which I'm sure you'll all have been familiar with, something which surfaced about, I think it was last July. And there was this submersible called Titan, right, which was a small sort of submarine thing, which 3 or 4 people paid eye-watering amounts of money to have the privilege of going down to the ocean floor for a bit of exploration. And listen, I guess all of us, many of us, have there's a part of us that would like to, like a bit of excitement or challenge in our lives. But this was a very extreme thing. And you'll recall that about a day into the expedition, contact was lost with this craft. There was a lot of concern because the people in there only had 2 or 3 days oxygen supply, and so great efforts were made to try and recover this. And as we know, at the end of the day, it was discovered the total failure of this craft, and these people have paid whatever it was, $250,000 or something, to get squished at great depth. So it was a bad move to go on. But you know, that certainly is a very extreme form of risk. One which bothered me a little bit more, actually, was about a week or two later, I read in the paper that somebody who had gone up in a hot air balloon, the hot air balloon had failed, and of course it just plummets to the ground. Fellow was killed. That bothered me more because for many years I've harboured a wish to try go hot air ballooning, and this kind of put me off the idea after I read about this. So there, you know, so I wanted to look into what are some of the halakhic guidelines over the question of taking risks. So I brought a few sources on this sheet. Those of you that are here can see it. Those who are not here, I will read and translate everything so that you're on board with what's going on. So we have a number of pasukim, for example, Nishmate Ma'od Nafsho Seichem, find Parshas Devarim, you look after your souls very, very carefully. Here's another one in the same parasha at the top. Rachi Shomer Lucha, but be very careful, Ushomer Nafshecha Ma'od, and also be extremely careful with your nefesh, with your soul. Now the context is Pen Tishkach Es Hadavorim Asher Roi Necha, lest you should forget the things that you've personally witnessed in your journey through the Midbar, right? Upen Yosurim Involvecha Kol Yimei Chayecha, that these things should be permanently removed or forgotten from your heart. But you've got to make sure that the message goes through to your children and future generations. That's the context. However, these words are used again to warn us that we should take particular care. I was interested by the comment of the Kli Yocha, which I've brought there. He says, "Rachi shomer lecha u'shmer nafshecha." It seems to be saying the same thing twice. So he says, no, Hishomer Lecha, the first Hishomer Lecha is Rotzulama Shmiras Haguf. You've got to look after your physical body. Below his kibbo ma'od, and in respect to this, the word ma'od is not added into that phrase, that clause rather. Kumo b'shmiras ha'nofesh, whereas when it comes to looking after the nefesh, after the soul, asher b'shmiras ha'tzorech ha'odam lihizo b'yoyseh. A person has to be especially careful to look after his spiritual well-being, right? Therefore it said, Ushomeres nafshecha ma'od. You have to be very, very careful to look after your soul. We are a composite, a human being is a composite of a physical body, and as we understand it, that we have a spiritual soul as well, we have to look after both things. And this plays out in a number of, these are just a few random sort of sources. There's many more that could be brought upon, but within half an hour I can't deal with them all. So for example, in Parshas Ki Yisei, it says, Ki Sivle Bayis Chodosh, when you build a new house, there's a mitzvah saseh, so if it's a flat roof, you have to make a parapet around the roof. Now there's a loy saseh, you shall not have blood on your hands, literally on your house. Because if you've got a flat roof, or you put on a balcony on your home, and you don't protect it, it's an accident waiting to happen. So you have to take these precautions. Says the Rambam, source number 3. So he says like this: Echod Hagag Ve'echod kol dovah sheyesh bo sakona. Whether it's a flat roof or any other kind of possible hazard, v'royish yekosha bo adom, where it's likely that a person is going to stumble, v'yomus, and he could die. Could go, for example, shehoyisolo be'er of boer b'chadzera. If a person had a well or a boer pit in his garden, in his chadzer, bein sheyesh bo hemayim, bein she'ein bo hemayim, whether it's got water in it or it hasn't got water in it, chayev la'aseis lahem chulia gevoy asar tefachim, you've got an obligation to make a raised protective, I don't know, like a mound of earth or something like that around it, at least 10 tefachim high, or fence it off. Or to make an effective cover over the pit, in order to protect a situation where a person might inadvertently fall in and die. And any other kind of hazard, literally a stumbling block, but any other kind of hazard where there could be danger of death, mitzvahs aseh lahasiro, you first of all have a positive commandment to remove that danger, ulehishomeh mimenu, ulehizov v'dova yofi yofa, and you've got to be very careful to avoid anything like this happening. Yofa yofa, very much. You go, you know, don't just do the minimum, you do what's necessary to make it safe. Shnema, quoting the pasuk, Yishomer lecha u'shomer nafshecha. That's why I brought this pasuk at the top. This is the pasuk that the Rambam brings as a proof text. Ve'im lo heisir, and if you did remove that hazard, ve'hiniach hamachshelos, and you leave these hazards, these stumbling blocks, hamavien l'day sakana, which could bring about a possible danger to a person, then bitel mitzvah sasei v'avralos sasei v'avralos sasim domin. You've annulled a positive commandment by not doing it, and you've also been over a los sasei of los sasim domin. Okay, and in halacha he gives some examples. So it says like this. There are many things which our Chazal forbade, because they are a danger to life, and anybody who transgresses them. And he says, I'm prepared to put my own life in danger. I'm going to take risks, right? This is what we're talking about. And who cares what everybody else thinks about this, right? I'm going to go down in this submarine, or whatever it is. Or I'm not that bothered, you know, about taking these risks. So So then he gets Malchus Drabonon for, you know, putting himself in that situation. And in Alach Avov, and this is the last piece of the Rambam, so he says, V'eluhein, and these are examples of such things, this is, I remember, the Gemara in Avodah Zorah, but possibly other places as well. He says, Lo yaniach odom piv ala silo namakaleach mayim v'yishte. A person shouldn't put his mouth at the end of a pipe where water's coming through and drink from it. And he shouldn't go up night time to drink from the rivers or from ponds or something, because maybe he'll swallow a leech. He's not aware what he's doing because he can't see what's going on. This was obviously in the times of the Rambam, or in the times of the Gemara, these were a genuine concern. I mean, we have water coming out of our taps, but we know it's been pre-filtered and everything before it gets to us. Likewise, a person shouldn't drink from a water source that's been left uncovered, you know, a bucket of water or something like that, especially overnight, because maybe a snake has taken a drink from this or from other similar animals, has taken a drink from it, and he's injected his venom into the thing, and you'll unwittingly you'll drink water which is going to cause you a danger of death. Now, in the relevant part of the Shulchan Aruch here, from Choshen Mishpat, there is a comment from the Be'er HaGoyla, and he says like this. Nearly Anias Daiti. He says, in my opinion, he says, Hatam, the reason for all this, Shehizhira Torah al Shmiras HaNefesh, that the Torah goes to these great extents of telling us we've got to look after ourselves. The reason is, Mitam Shekadosh Baruch Hu Boris HaOlam Bechazdo. Hashekadosh Baruch Hu created the world in his kindness. Lehitiv Lahanivroim, to benefit all of these creatures, and Shiakiru Gdulosa, that they should recognize his greatness in providing a living environment for us, in order specifically for the Yidden, they have to serve Hashem and they keep his mitzvahs and his Torah. Kemosh Omer Akosov Kalanikrosh. Whatever has been created in my name was for my glory. I created it for my kavod, says Hashem. These things were provided for us in order that when we keep the mitzvahs and we learn our Torah, that we should receive sochar tov. Appropriate and a good reward for what we do, for our activity with this regards to this, and if somebody puts himself in danger, it's as if he has despised the rotzen of the will of the Creator. He's doesn't consider it of any importance to him. And he's not interested in serving his Creator nor in receiving any reward for what he does. He says there's no more, I can't think of a more hefker way of viewing life and the privilege of living as human beings than doing this. It's an interesting take on this. So up until this point, we have a situation where it's clear that min haTorah, person's not allowed to take risks, certainly not in any kind of premeditated way. But the question then arises, hang on a tick, you know, there are many things that we do in everyday life which do involve risk. You know, if you want to cross the road or whatever it might be, all these things involve a risk. Air travel, right? It's another thing. By the way, there are halakhical, it is the case that Shulchan Aruch rules that if you cross a sea, or an ocean, or we go across the desert, or wherever it is, you have to bench Goyal afterwards. And for many, many years, and I'm sure Ad Hayom, many people, if they go on a flight somewhere, they bench Goyal afterwards. But there are great rabbanim who feel nowadays you air travel is actually the safest form of travel. If you look at the statistics, I mean, okay, if the plane goes down, so there's a good chance that you won't survive. But if you look at the number of people who travel by air and compare that to people who travel by rail or by car or other forms of transport, it's actually the safest way to travel. There's a reason for this. The pilots go through a whole risk assessment before they take off. They've got a checklist of, 30, 40 things. They have to make sure everything's right and in place before they even go on there. And you've got traffic, air traffic controllers and so on and so forth. So So it's now a little bit of a shaila as whether you should bench Gomel after air travel. And I think somebody told me that, for instance, Rav Hershel Schachter, who's is a posik in America, he holds that you don't have to bench Gomel after air, or maybe you even shouldn't bench Gomel after air travel. I'm not passing shaz. I'm just saying that when it comes to risk assessment, there are tzedodim here, but certainly there are many everyday. I think you wanted to ask something.
Yeah, birds are singing. I'm going without shimmy mouth.
Yes.
You could do. Oh, cool. Yeah, I haven't heard that, but I see that you're right. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Rav Schacht in America said you can say it's like a brocha levatola or what?
Probably more like a brocha she'ena tzarichra. I wouldn't say it's a brocha levatola. But I suppose if you go flying an airplane, and the airplane, either if they're struck by lightning or some other, he had a difficult landing or something like that, maybe it's a different thing. Yeah, yes. But generally speaking, they all clap when the plane. Okay, now I want to. So the point is, how do we negotiate things which are you might call a regular hazard, a regular risk, because without taking those risks, you wouldn't be able to leave your house. So what do you do? So there's a pasuk in Tehillim, we're familiar to us from Hallel. Shoyma pesoim Hashem. Hashem looks after the foolish. Dalosi, I was brought low, v'li yeshion, Hashem saved me. So there are a few places in Shas where this pasuk is used to justify certain kinds of everyday risks, and I'm going to come on to smoking. I can see the time's running on. I'm going to come to smoke in a moment, but I remember so people would say, those people who permit smoking, they say, listen, okay, Hashem saves the looks after the foolish. So, but I remember Rabbi Nachum Rabinovich here used to say, but Enoch Inami is still a fool. Okay, so here's an example from the Gemara. Amar Papa, so Rav Papa said, Hilchach we see, therefore, Yoma de Iva v'Yoma de Shusa, on a day when it's very cloudy, or on a day when there's a strong south wind blowing, Lo Mahalilon, we don't do Bris Milah. Hello, Ainan Bay, we don't do a Bris Mila on such a day. Veloma Sucharilan Bay, and they used to do bloodletting as a form of medication. And we don't do, so the bloodletting's got certain risks. We don't do this on a cloudy day or on a day when there's this hot wind blowing. Veho'idla, but now, the Dosha Barabin, we see that everybody does this anyway. So, Shome Pasoim Hashem. Hashem looks after the foolish. In other words, There is a risk, but it seems that everybody doesn't take a lot of notice of this. They're prepared to take that risk. So Shema Pesai Hashem, most people will not come to any harm by doing so. Now, I want to talk about smoking for the next few minutes, just as an example. Because this is something that's come up in the Teshuvah literature. I mean, there were things years ago also about hunting. There's a Teshuvah note of Yehuda about whether it's okay to go hunting. It's got certain dangers. But people who are working in the fur trade, there were many people in those days in his time, and is it okay to go hunting? Can you undergo, for example, something like cosmetic surgery, where it's not an illness, people just want to change their body shape or whatever it is, but every operation has attendant risks, and there have been stories in the press recently about ladies who have gone to Turkey to have some dodgy operation done, and they died from it. So, but smoking is something which has been prevalent for a very long time, and although we now know from epidemiological studies that there are a lot of risks. For example, there's increased risk of cardiovascular disease, respiratory disease, many types of cancer. It can be also associated with an increased risk of diabetes, gum disease, infertility, impotence, age-related macular degeneration of the eye. But there actually are one or two conditions like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's where apparently smoking seems to have a beneficial effect. So anyway, Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked more than once to rule on this question of smoking. There are many people in yeshivas smoking. I remember one of my boys who's a bit fussy, a bit of an istanis, and there was a school trip to Gateshead Yeshiva when he was in about the fifth form or something. And he said to me, I don't want to go to that yeshiva. I want to go somewhere else because there's people smoking there. He didn't like the idea. Okay. But anyway, Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked by Fred Rosner. I don't know if Fred Rosner's still alive. He's a sort of a contemporary of Lord Jacobovitz thing. But he was an eminent doctor working one of the New York hospitals. I think he came here on the kinder transport and lived in England as a child. And he became a very well-respected physician in America, a frum man. His sons are off in Bet Shemesh, or Ramat Bet Shemesh somewhere, and he gives a shir in Yeshivas Keren B'Yavna in Israel. So as a chushev yid, and he evidently had a relationship with Rav Moshe Feinstein. So I'm going to get, if you indulge me, I've two ways to do this. I don't know how strict you are to finishing at 9 o'clock. I'd like to take you through this tshuva. If there isn't time to go through it inside, then I'll just try and summarize what he says. But it'll take a few minutes to get through this. So he was asked the question. He was asked to rule on smoking, and obviously what Dr. Rosner felt was that from his, you know, clinical practice and everything, it's clear. I mean, obviously in the early days people didn't know, but by this time, it's 40, 50 years ago, I don't know if I wrote down the years, 43 years ago, he was asked, now we've got quite a lot of evidence to show that people, for instance, can get cancer and so on from smoking, or that it's somehow associated with it. You know, would the Rav be prepared to give a psak on what happens with smoking? So he says like this. He says, so he quotes this this reason from this pasuk in Tehillim that Hashem, pardon? We're on number seven. Number seven on the second paragraph, really. Right. He says, actually, let me read the first line. He says, Isru Chag Shvuz Toshu Mem Aleph. So that's the date when the Teshuvah was written. Ma Las Kevodo. So this is a sort of an honorific a title as a respect to Yedidi, my good friend, Anechma Ma'od Ben Torah. He's a Ben Torah. He's a from man. Yerei Shemayim Be'emes. Marain Rav Dr. Reb Meir Rosner. So Meir was his Hebrew name. He was known as Fred Ross. He wrote many books on Jewish ethics and so on. As I said, sort of called a contemporary of Lord Jacobovitz, the great Nivracha. So he says, so he brings this klal of Shom B'Soyim Hashem. Yes, it's mentioned elsewhere. I brought one in Yevamos, but it's there in Shavuos, I think, and in Nidah he brings, right? B'Shnei Devorim Te'ich Be'em Chashash Tzakanta. So it mentions a couple of things which have potential danger of low zahiri, and people aren't careful about this. So av shevada bestam chashash sekanta also lismoch al zeh. Even though, generally speaking, one's not supposed to rely on this principle shomer pesoy mashem. Afim nizdamen ki agav ne bedovash yesh bechashash sekanta. But low zahiri b'huin shen, and this is something like smoking, which people do, but they're not careful to desist from this. Nira Poshut, he says, it seems to me, the Badova de Ika Harabeshlo Koshulhulabriosam Klum, that if there are many, many people where such an activity does not harm their health at all, for instance, Kikon Harbe Mini Ochlim, Sha'inshi, Nani Mahem, Beyosa, Kibis Rashmeno. So he says, for instance, if people eat a lot of fatty meat. Okay, so I think I've had the signal that I've got to keep to the time. So I'm going to try and just go through this outside rather than inside the text. You can keep these sources if you want to work through them. So he says that he wants to suggest that the vast majority of people don't get harmed from something like smoking. He says, even though he says in the Rambam Hilchos Deos brings a lot of things about certain foods are good for you, some things are not good for you. But he never says it's osa to eat things that are not good for you. It's more like an eitz tova, you know, what to do for the best.
Advisory, yeah?
Correct. He says, oh, some things which are a certain and definite danger that you have to be careful of, but things which maybe is not necessary an issa. So he says that, just in a second, I'll go through this very quickly. So he says, look, there are many people who, for instance, who smoke, and they get harmed off from smoking. It's something they enjoy. You know, it satisfies a certain thing. Maybe it settles their mind or whatever. I don't know. Thank God I've never taken this up. And he said, and also, that the vast majority, if you look at the population, the vast majority of people don't get lung cancer from smoking, right? And he says that even if you're a doctor and you're on a ward and every patient on this ward is suffering from lung disease or heart disease, whatever it is caused by smoking, but when you're looking at the whole population, the vast majority of people don't appear, let's put it that way, don't appear to be affected in this same way. So therefore he says that... And since that if a person who is a smoker had to stop smoking, he's going to be mitzvah. It'll be distressful for them, distressing for them to have to give up. So therefore, he says if the danger as he perceives it is minimal, right? This is his view. He says he doesn't find it possible to say that this is osa. All right. Now I have to tell you that the Rabbi Chaim David Alevi, who was the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, the Sephardi chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, he said it's osa. Right? You can't. He made a ban on it. Moshe Feinstein is not prepared to go to that extent, and but he does say at the end that that people of B'nai Terah should not smoke, they shouldn't take up the habit, and everything. It's a terrible thing for people to accustom themselves to, and therefore, and people should be, and also it's a taiva, people should be mamai at these things and not overindulge themselves in this way. So, I think one can possibly add to this that there may be some concern that if he was to say that it's osa, then immediately you've got thousands of Torah observant Jews who maybe find it difficult or impossible to give up the habit, and they're over, they're going against what this Chacham has said. So maybe that was part of the consideration. There's a range of options open. Anyway, I think my time has run. I would like to spend a little bit more on this. But gives you a little bit of an idea. So basically, things which are certain dangers don't get involved. Could be issa deraisa. Those things which are everyday risks, you've got to be careful. Of course, you've seen from the pesukim that at the most it can be like an issa derabbanan. But actually, shomer pesuayim Hashem, Mr. Hashem, we should all lead healthy and safe lives. Wish everybody good morning.
Thank you.
Sorry, I was late. That's all right. Okay. Amen.